Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition show. It is the show that helps you connect with your intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane and I'm your host for the show. And today we have the wonderful Robert on. Now, Robert is, he's going to tell you all about his story. But it's amazing the levels of work, life, living that he was at and to have it all change. And now he's an author, he's writing books, all about heart-centered mastery and grace. And this is, look, I've got on the title, Unlocking Your Dormant Superpower. And look, for a lot of people, they don't realize that we've got this superpower within us. They don't realize that. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. So how we can unlock it, how we can start to live a life that is a little bit more heart-centered, or actually a lot more heart-centered. But that's enough of me talking. I want to bring Robert onto the show. Hey, Robert, how are you going?
I know, Susan. Thank you so much for having me. It's we're about as far away from each other as we can, I think. If I go straight into the earth, I'll end up somewhere in Brisbane, I think. I love this technology. We can connect, we can talk, we can find each other. It's beautiful. So thank you. I do love Australia a lot. I just told you that story. I spent a year there when I was 21. It's got a big place in my heart. So
it's lovely. And where the area you're talking about, the Whitsundays, is such a gorgeous area. I was there too when I was in my 20s. So yeah, that was a long time.
Probably about 20 years later or something, right?
I mean, well, I very much doubt it. It was probably about the same time. I was probably there before you. But yeah, it was a beautiful. It has changed so much. You'd be really surprised how much the Whitsundays have changed. Not necessarily for the better, but, you know, it is what it is. I can remember when the trees used to come right down to the beach, right down to the ocean, and then you'd have this beautiful blue water and the corals and everything else. But, there's a lot more growth happening there, which is, you know, that's life. We can't
change. Change.
Yeah, we've got to share it, I guess. But that's enough about reminiscing about us. That's wonderful. But what I want to get an understanding of is this heart-centered mastery. You know, what we're talking about, unlocking that dormant superpower that we've got. Now, you have experienced that. You have had that aha moment. You've had that that understanding of what it's like to live not that way and then to live that way. But first of all, Robert, let's get a little bit more of an understanding of your story, your background, and how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Right. And that actually ties into this intelligence of the heart. So I kind of pursued, I was a little bit of a rebel and a traveler, and I sailed yachts, and I was a journeyman tennis pro, and then I got into real estate in my mid-20s, and I really followed my father's path, which was a big-time CEO in Holland, and he was a businessman, and, you know, that's how, as a man, you gain your worth by having prestige, having money, having success, and all those things. And so I did that in the country of where everybody pursues their dreams, in the United States. I was a very competitive guy, and I was pretty good at it. So I went to night school, and then I went to Ivy League business school, and I joined GE Capital, and then I went into business for myself, and ever more money, bigger deals, bigger everything, bigger ego, I guess, too. But that whole path was really following what the world tells us to do. You know, as a man, to have worth, you got to have net worth, and you have to have power and influence and money and, you know, maybe women and toys and big houses and all those things. And so I pursued those with a vengeance. And in about 2015, I sold most of my business. Actually, I had private equity partners that were exiting And then, you know, I got out of the business and suddenly I found myself in my early 40s. Sorry, I'm a little bit, just got back from a run. And, you know, I was at the mountain peak. I had set all these goals. If I have so many millions and this house and this perfect wife, perfect kids, you know, all the cars, toys, vacations, you know, I have all of it, then I'll be complete and then I'll be happy. And I wasn't. I was miserable, empty on the inside. I had sold my soul. And so this is where I had a spontaneous spiritual awakening. At the time, I had no idea what that was. But my claircognizance and clairsentience came online. So claircognizance, suddenly I started knowing things and I didn't know why I knew. And then clairsentience, I became extraordinarily sensitive to energy. And I really didn't know how to interpret it. This is in the lineage of my on my maternal side, but I really didn't know what to do with it because up to that point, I had been this straight-laced, masculine mind, just a driven outwork, outpace, outgrind everybody and leave a path of debris behind you, a carnage and broken hearts and partners that you no longer needed and dismissed and all that stuff. So that was really where the shift kind of came, but it took a few years for me to understand this intelligence of the heart, what I call it.
Can I ask you something before you go? Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in on your story, but when you're talking
questions, about questions, and I'm going to start charging you. Okay. No, I mean, you can ask me anything, of course.
I know, but I'd like you to say your story first so people know. But when you're talking about the clairsentience and claircognizance, now you've said them very, very almost blasé, like everybody knows what they are. And you have explained them a little bit, but could you just go a little bit deeper into that, Robert? Because how do you go from not knowing anything to all of a sudden I've got clairsentience and claircognizance? How did that all come about? Because people experience that.
All right. So there's a couple of things to this story. First of all, my mother was an astrologist and a graphologist. And so I had in my teens some exposure to spirituality. My mother was, you know, took me to doctors that read my auras. And we're talking back in the 80s, you know, when this stuff was crazy. I mean, everybody around me, all my friends were like, your mom is like, she's lost it. But I thought it was really interesting. And so my grandfather had been clairvoyant. My mother is very clairsentient as well. And so she already had some of these things and she used that in her astrology practice. So I was familiar with it. But I used it in business in hindsight because, you know, I was a really gifted, what they call rainmaker, because I always had this ability to tune into people's frequency. And then you can basically sell sand in the desert. And I utilized that skill in business big time. I mean, it was very helpful. I just did it unconsciously. Now, when this talent or this ability came online, it was really just a profound spiritual awakening that I went through. My whole body, everything just shook on its axis. And, you know, it woke all kinds of stuff up in me. And the truth serum got dropped in is what I call when we are awakening. And this is something that the universe divinely orchestrates when we're ready. You know, we are going to go on this journey on the pathless land, as Joseph Campbell says. But what I want to really stress to most people is that I'm nothing special. Everybody is pre-wired with this capability. Every human being, for most people, it's dormant, but everybody has these extra sensory capabilities. And that could be seeing energy, feeling energy. It could be claircognizance, which is a way of precognition. I just know things. I don't have a rational explanation for it, but that's because the heart is a center of intelligence that is supra-rational in nature. And so there's actually neurons in our heart, but you got to imagine that this entire universe is made up out of energy. Energy is light, and light is information. And so this entire universe is intelligence, and there's intelligence. And everything that has ever happened, will ever happen, can potentially ever happen, is already in existence in unmanifested form. And this is intelligence. And so with our heart, we have a portal to access that intelligence. And the language of the heart is intuiting, feeling, sensing, and direct knowing. And so this is how we basically tap into this intelligence of our heart. And I call this the whispers inside. Now, our mind tends to, our ego tends to be very loud. It's really based on our experience in our life and what the world tells us and what belief systems we have. And maybe there's religious, programming in there as well, that what you should and should not do and all these things. And so our mind is quite loud. Our heart is more subtle. It's more a little sense, a feeling, an intuition. I call them whispers. And, you know, our soul also works with us, or this heart intelligence, through our body. So the emotions we feel, especially in our gut region, right? We know when something is off for us. We know when something is right for us. And this can be picking a life partner or picking the right car or which house you should buy. If you have three houses you're thinking about, all of this is the intelligence of the heart that whispers to you. It's your inner GPS. And we can all learn this. We all have this capability.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you there. But I have to say something. You did not give me the rest of your story.
Well, what part of the story would you like?
Okay. So you said in 2015, you had your aha moment. Mm. You had that change, right? And the truth serum dropped into you. What happened then? What were the changes that took place? What did you do? How did you get to where you are now? Where are you now?
Okay. Well, and you know, I wrote a book about it, Never Enough Itis. Excuse me if I use this word, but it's never fucking enough. I mean, that was my disease. It was never enough. I couldn't fill this void no matter what I try to pursue or gain in the outside world. So in 2015, I'm at this place, what I just described, and I really felt depressed. I felt lonely. I felt disillusioned because everything I ever believed was going to make me happy, it didn't really turn out. And I had actually sold my soul getting there. I played in the highest echelons of business. And what happens there behind the curtain is not something that is pretty. And I was part of that. I was part of that system. I was a cog in that machinery, and it really tarnished my soul. And that I got lost in that world. I got lost in power. I got lost in money. My integrity, I violated my integrity. I cheated on my wife. I was not a man to be very proud of, even though the world on the outside was applauding it. On the inside, this was a broke man in my view. And so I went on this journey of pursuing basically knowing myself and understanding, like, the world, there's got to be more to this world than moving decimals around on a spreadsheet and making my shareholders richer and filling my pockets along the way. I just got this feeling like this cannot be the only thing that life is all about. And so I started reading all the major wisdom traditions, and I started reading Krishnamurti, I started reading about, the great spirit and indigenous cultures. And I went to became a certified yoga teacher because I figured, the Upanishads and Patanjali was interesting. And so I just started accumulating all this knowledge. And I started synthesizing and integrating it. And in the meantime, the universe was kind of stripping my life naked. I was still doing some business, but it wasn't going that great because my heart wasn't in it. And then finally in 2017, I really had a seismic shift in my life. My father passed away, and I still had quite a bit of wound towards him that had driven me to all these successes because I wanted him to see me so much. And then I got divorced, and then I had a hurricane wipe out a business. And so by the end of 2017, I was stripped naked. I was on the edge of bankruptcy. I was wondering how I was going to pay for this financial settlement that is based on your prior past. But, I just lost the money in this hurricane, and the business got wiped out, and I had a personal guarantee tied to it. And so the universe brought me to my knees, and then I went into therapy. I finally kind of surrendered to this notion that, I need some help. And really, I think from that moment forward, a lot of things started opening up for me, but mainly because the universe just stripped me naked. And, crisis, catastrophe, calamity, This is these are divine gifts wrapped in sandpaper, I call them. You know, we get to this crucible in life, and that could be a divorce or a financial crisis, or it could be a kid that gets sick or your own health, that something happens. And when we get to these moments, these kind of pivotal moments in our life, it's really nothing being done to us. It's really just an opportunity for us to, you know, really choose to go learn our lessons and go to a different timeline. And I think around 2017, 2018, that really opened up. And then, you know, this knowledge became more and more embodied, and really started making a lot of changes in my life. And then I finally found this calling that, you know, there's a lot of guys like me that have been very successful and now feel empty. And, you know, there's a reason why I went through this whole trajectory. Yeah. And so now there's something that I can share that I think is more valuable than me going back in the business world and just go make money again. And so these days I am a regenerative capitalism advisor, because I think, you know, we have a lot of things we need to change in the world. And I do believe, I do subscribe to a form of spirituality, which is really rooted in the real world. I'm not so much, I think it's beautiful that there's monks that sit on a mountain and sing Om all day long. But to me, that's not what life is about. To me, we're here in this earthly realm to play around and be, you know, to find our own power and to step in our full potential and to live life in relationships, doing things like businesses, building, creating beautiful things, creating a beautiful life for ourselves, but to be in the world, to express ourselves as a spiritual poet, while we're living in the world among people, doing all the usual things that humans do. And
absolutely. I totally agree. And I've said the same too about, you know, like when we talk about meditation or the spiritual changes. Yeah, sure, go and sit up in a cave in the mountains and sit up there and do your meditation. But you're not actually bringing that into the real world, because that is not your real world. If that's where you choose to be, then don't choose to come back into it and stay there. But we need to learn these skills like you've done, that we can then utilize them in the world, in how we're supposed to be, how it's supposed to look. But one of the things you said, Robert, which was really, really, it resonated with me. That's the word I'm looking for, was when you said your heart wasn't in it when you were working. That is one of the biggest triggers to say that there's something not happening here. You know, and we don't realize it. We sort of go, oh, you know, I haven't got my heart in, I'll just get another job. I haven't got my heart in, oh, it's because, you know, somebody at work's being an asshole. You know, I haven't got my heart in it because of this, because of that, but the reality is you haven't got your heart in it. Change needs to be made when you start feeling it.
100%. Yeah. And I was reluctant, you know, because you got to imagine, I was very, very successful at what I did. I made a lot of money. I got a lot of applause, a lot of fame in my little circles. I was kind of a player. I was the man. I was the guy, you know, and all, a lot of fancy ties, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I kind of slowed down, and then I was really grappling, what is this awakening? Why am I feeling like this? But I couldn't do it anymore. And I remember, like, in 2016, I kind of, you know, my ego was negotiating with me, you know, and it was like, well, maybe you just need to do more deals and make a little bit more money. Maybe it's just not enough. Maybe, you know, instead of X million, you need to have so many more millions, and then it will all be fixed, right? All the ego negotiating. The ego wants to do what it's familiar with. And so I was, yeah, sure, you know, and I opened up, I rented an office and, you know, put nice furniture in it, and I made a big presentation deck, and I called all my old investors, say, hey, I'm back in business, you know, you want to go meet and have lunch and all that? And I would go meet them, and I would talk about it, and my deck was fine. Everything was fine. I just didn't care anymore. I couldn't sell them anything because I could care less. I even pursued two or three deals. I remember one of them I lost, and I was, you know, I would have been devastated. That was like a deal that was on the 1 yard line, and then it didn't happen. And I know now that the universe was going to take me through that experience, but, you know, I was almost like blasé about it when it didn't happen. I was almost relieved because I actually didn't really want to win a deal, because then I had to do all this work that I really didn't want to do, and I didn't really want to be in that business anymore. So it was so conflicting on the inside that I told one of my investors actually noticed. He said, you know, Robert, are you sure you really want to do this? You know, you just don't really seem like you used to. And I kind of looked at him, and this was someone that I respected on a personal level too. And I said, you know, I really don't want to do this. No, I'm just not interested in it anymore. And he basically said, well, let's be friends and go find something to do that you think is fun, you know? And that's really what kind of came next. But it took a while before I found what I thought was fun. But, you know, this is all part of the process. My heart was just, I couldn't do it anymore. The genie was out of the bottle, and I couldn't go back to that world and do, because I had exhausted that movie scene in my life. Mm. It was fully milked. There wasn't a drop left in that. I'd seen all that I needed to see for my personal evolution as a soul and where I was going. There was a very good reason why I had to have that episode, that experience, why I needed to learn and see that and be in that world and get lost in that world as a man on all levels.
Yeah.
Because now that gave me the ability to rise above it. And now I can share this in books, in when I speak, when I work with people one-on-one. And I had to, this, all of it had to be exactly the way it was.
Absolutely. Mm. Mm. Because that's funnily enough, those hard times, those areas that you go through, that's what gives you the credibility. It's not a piece of paper. It's not, oh, I can do this and I can do that. You've lived it. You've got the lived experience for it, which makes it so much, and I don't mean to say better, because I know that's not easy for you. And just to even, you know, come forward and say the issues that you've gone through, it's a challenge to start with. But it is better for your connecting. You can connect with people. You can get an understanding of it. You've lived it. You're not getting it out of a book and saying, well, this has happened to you, so this is how you should be feeling. It's like, no, this has happened to you. This is what I went through. Will that help you? You know, and it is so nice because it's empowering for the man as well, or empowering for the person. I shouldn't say the man. Empowering for the person that you're helping. Before you go any further, I just wondered, I've got on the ticker tape there that your book called Never Enoughitis.
Right.
Is that
my first book, yeah. And when I published it, someone said, never enough it is. And I said, no, it's never enoughitis. And then I was like, never enough it is. That works too. So
yeah, it does.
So actually, you know, I don't care how you say it, but it's never enoughitis. It was like the disease of never enough, which is really, as a society, as a Western society, this is what we grapple with. It's like we work ourselves to death. We're stressed out of our mind. We sacrifice our health, our well-being, our time with loved ones, and all these things for what? For more. Never enough. And this is because there's a lot of people that want to sell us a lot of products.
And oh, absolutely.
And a lot of these products we don't really need.
No.
Or, you know, we can drive a car. These cars can drive 10 years. Why do we need to change it after 2 years and get the new model? Like, for what? These things drive 10 years or 15 if you take good care of it, right? I mean, there's so many things that, you know, fashion and then, you know, I mean, all this stuff, like, you don't need that. I don't need a new pair of jeans every year. I don't go, like, I'm not that rough on my jeans, you know?
But it is, and the other aspect behind it, Robert, is why are you purchasing them? Are you purchasing them, and I don't mean you personally, but are you purchasing them for, is it ego-based, or is it the fact that, hey, you need a new pair of jeans because these ones are falling out, you know, like they've got holes in them, although that's the trend sometimes.
I know, exactly, yeah. So that was my first book, and the first book is really kind of my rise, you know, to the peak of the mountain. And I described that in a lot of color, and also some of the dark side of that and what was driving me. And then I kind of described, the fall, kind of the train wreck in slow motion, where all of that was starting to come apart, and how my marriage came apart and my relationship, and how I just kind of drifted in this away in this world of greed and power and money and women and fast cars, so to speak, and bad habits. Let's put it that way. And it was a degradation of sorts. And then I hit rock bottom. And then I describe in the third part, you know, these spiritual tools that I found and that got me kind of initially out of this rabbit hole of despair and depression and even being borderline suicidal. So, I mean, I went dark. I went really, really, because my whole life fell apart. Everything I thought I was, because I identified with the money, I identified with the power, I identified with being this important guy.
Well, your ego did, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that person to me that I identified with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so when that collapses, that whole ego structure just pulverizes.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, it was an excruciating experience, but I had to go through it because otherwise I wouldn't have never gotten to the other side of that.
Absolutely, yeah. So you said there was a couple of tools that you used to help you get through that. Can you explain just a couple of those a little briefly?
Yeah, so I think the biggest one for me has always been this intelligent heart. And it's an important subject because there's a lot of talk about polarity, masculine, feminine, and that's actually part of love and truth because it is the principal polarity in the universe. And there are certain aspects of the masculine. I'm not talking men, women, by the way. I'm talking energies. I'm talking masculine, feminine energies. But the intelligence of the heart is really the feminine intelligence in us. And the masculine is our head. And so this is very linear. And this is non-linear. This is logical. This is spatial. It can just go in all directions and hold five opinions at the same time. We're in our mind, our masculine, it's narrow, it's focused, it's linear, it's directional. And, you know, this is very helpful when you're pursuing certain things. But actually navigating life is complex. And the complexity of life cannot be grasped by our masculine mind, by our rational mind. But our feminine intelligence and this sense of intuition, this tapping into this universe to almost get, you know, to see around what's around the corner, to get this information, these senses, these hunches, these, indicators within us where we should go. Now, this is the feminine intelligence that runs through the heart. The heart is the portal to that intelligence. And so that opened up for me after my spiritual awakening. And, for a very masculine guy, that's, you know, I'm a 6'5" alpha dude, so to speak. And alpha are natural leaders. But my heart was so closed. I mean, there was a moat around my heart. I couldn't feel anything. I was just all mechanical and just go. Now, that brought me a certain level of respect, but it also self-destructed me in the end. It cut me off from this ability to actually feel into life, to feel into other people, to have compassion with this world, to look at certain aspects of this world and just have this notion that, you know, my job as a man is to be in service to the whole, not to just relentlessly pursue personal gain. Now, as a man in service to the whole, I can have all kinds of personal gain as a byproduct. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when I have a vision of the world where I'm in service to this world, then I behave very differently. And I see the world very differently. And when I see all of it as sacred, then how can I condone any war or any violence or any hate or any pollution of Mother Earth or any of those things? All of that becomes madness. It just becomes completely crazy. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense. We as humanity, we've lost our mind. Well, what we've lost, what we've repressed is feminine intelligence. We basically cut the monster off at the neck and let the head determine for the last 2-3 millennia what this world is designed and organized like. And so women are symbolic of the feminine. And so the repression of the feminine, repression of women, the repression of that intelligence of the heart is really the big missing link that we're seeing all the challenges and problems we have in the world. We can relate it back to this core problem, that we are disconnected from our heart.
I love how you've said that, and I just wanted to bring forward something there too, because my partner, he's having issues at his job, and he's having issues with the women, and the women are behaving with too much masculine energy. And it's almost like that pendulum has swung from women being oppressed all the way to the other side, where they're almost, and this is just general, so I'm not talking about all women, obviously, but I can see these women, again, like just like you're saying, they're not attached to their heart. So they're of a feminine nature, but they're not having that feminine energy in that they're not attached to their heart.
And if you want me to, I love this subject. I coach a lot of women on this. This might not make me very popular in some circles, but listen, the history of the feminist movement is actually in World War II. And this wasn't because they really wanted to liberate women, but they needed women to actually work in the factory so they can make munitions, because a lot of the men power was in Europe or Asia fighting these wars.
Yes.
And so this is how women were originally recruited into the workforce on large scale, right?
Yes, correct.
And then a whole feminist movement ensued. And of course, there was burning your bras in the 60s, and there was these equal rights and all these things. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be equal rights, not at all. But here's the thing. At the very core of a feminist movement is a seeking of a validation or recognition from the masculine that I'm equal.
Yes.
So within the feminist movement, I'm going to compete with you and show that I'm just as good. In fact, I might even be better than you. Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing that because you want to be validated or recognized by the masculine. Now, and here's the thing, and I know by now some people want to fire bullets at me, but here's the beautiful thing. Now, sovereign femininity, you don't need any validation or any recognition for your worth from anyone. You just are.
You just do it. Absolutely.
You are worthy. Mm. Not because a man says you're equal, or a man passes a law, or a man says you can do the job just as. No, you don't need his. You don't need nothing from him.
Absolutely.
Other than just general respect, love, and compassion, we all need to be seen, heard, and loved. Men and women equal, but sovereign woman, a sovereign feminine woman is in her power. She doesn't need anybody to tell her she's equal. It doesn't matter if the laws are not saying that yet, although in most Western countries, the laws are pretty much leveled out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing is, as long as you're seeking validation and recognition from the masculine to be whole or complete or equal or whatever, you don't see it.
Exactly. 100%. I've just seen so many women go up the corporate ladder, but to do that, they've got to bring up so much of that masculine energy to feel that they've got to compete with it on that level instead of allowing
And honestly, they don't have to.
No. You do. We all have masculine and feminine energy.
Of course.
With it.
And
you have to have that balance.
Yeah.
Like you explained in your story, you've got so much masculine energy, and that's what you're operating on. And it isn't until you go, well, hang on, there's a whole nother world out there with the heart center. And then we have the women on the opposite side that are all heart centered and not doing everything. And not using the brain at all.
And this subject is very, very deep. We can go to, I can bring it into Tantra and other things. I will tell you this, though. The 40 days in the desert of Jesus was actually his rebirth or his true resurrection, which was actually an integration of the masculine and feminine inside. Now, when that happens to a man, he actually becomes more masculine.
Yes.
So I was always, I had a lot of alpha energy, which is just a natural leader type of energy. I was always the captain of my team. I was always the one, you know, I just have that. You know, it's not good or bad. It doesn't mean that beta men or gamma men are not valuable.
No,
and you don't, and you certainly don't want to have 100% alpha guys, because that would be a disaster. Mm. They're fighting with each other all the time, right? But you need a few in the world, right? So they have a purpose. Just like in nature, you know, and maybe 5 or 10% of men are alpha, a true alpha man. And there's also alpha women. These are the women that are, they're just wired to build empires. It comes easy to them. Mm. It doesn't wear them out. They don't have adrenal fatigue. They don't have thyroids that are like, you know, way off. They just comes natural to them. Mm. They're alpha women. They're just wired to do that. And which is, we're not all wired the same way. And the general man or masculine man, once he integrates this feminine, meaning his heart comes online, his feeling, his intuition, his compassion, his ability to sense into the world and take that information in without his inner order being disturbed even one iota, because that's part of the masculine, right? Mm. We get eye of the hurricane. When everything goes to shit, we have inner order, chaos in the outside world. Now, a man that can do that and feel the world, now that man is in his true power.
Yeah.
Because he can feel.
Absolutely.
And there's intelligence in feeling, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. There is absolutely.
There is an enormous amount of intelligence in feeling.
Mm.
Imagine you're the CEO of an organization and you just walk into a boardroom. And instead of everybody holding their bullshit story, because they're going to give you bullshit stories, because that's what people do to the leader. They're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. You can just walk in the room, scan the room, have people talk, but you feel the truth. You don't have to think about it. You feel it. You know it. And you put your finger on it right there. Boom. Pure intuition. You're feeling, your heart's wide open. You're in your masculine power, but your heart is wide open. You're just wired into that whole universe. And there's nobody can sell you even a remote piece of bullshit, because you feel the energy. Now, this is what it is for me to walk into a boardroom today. But I had to learn to read this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, this is how I work with clients. They tell me all kinds of beautiful stories, and I say, yeah, it sounds great, but that's not the real story. And we both know that, right?
Yeah, let's get a little bit deeper.
and then again, there's nothing special about Robert Altheims. I just, life pushed me in this direction and nudged me to really delve into this and then cultivate these things. And yeah, I became a certified medium because I'm an alpha guy. So I pursue everything like I really want to know it. And I really want to understand it. But everybody has this capability. Everybody can do this. And by the way, on the vice versa of the, you know, the feminine that actually integrates her masculine, right? She actually becomes more feminine. Mm. And the reason is because she can feel safe in her own masculine structure. She knows she has that structure inside of herself that she can rely on. She can bring it out when she needs it. But she can just generally be in her feminine, where her true superpowers are.
And to put that in another way, in another context, it's like when, and I'll use myself as an example, in my feminine power, and I have my masculine power there as well, I am not looking for a masculine to fill the gap that I have missed. I am not looking for somebody to take care of me. I'm not looking for somebody to provide for me. I'm not looking for somebody to do that. I can do that when I bring out my masculine. I can do that and feel comfortable. And as you said, I become more feminine because I am not seeking that. I am looking for a partner that we can enjoy our time together, but I'm not looking for a partner to fill a gap that I have not got. So yeah, I see, and you're the same. You know, masculine would be the same.
And then you know, on the spectrum of polarity, and this, by the way, has nothing to do with heterosexuality, because this is the same in gay couples or any other flavor that they come up, ice cream flavor that people come up with these days. If you want to have tension, sexual tension between polarities, you're going to want to have someone that's more in their masculine and someone that's more in their feminine. Now, the further those poles stretch, the more sexual tension you create. And sexual tension is not just that you're really kinky in your bedroom. It's just the dance between the masculine and feminine. Yeah. And this is the same in gay, in lesbian, transsexual, whatever the hell you're doing, you know, do your own thing. You're always going to want to have that tension, because if that gets too close, which is okay for some people that desire that, but you become roommates, which maybe that's what you aspire in a relationship. Maybe you just want to be roommates and buddies and go on vacations together, and you don't really care for that tension very much. That's fine too. We are all different. We all have different desires and dreams and aspirations. But this tension, you know, and so when you have a partner, they're both integrated, and one can lean into her feminine, and one can lean into his masculine. Now you can have this beautiful, beautiful, you know, creative energy. This is the essence of Vesica Pisces, the first two circles of the flower of life to come together. And that center area in the middle, that's where all the magic is in terms of creating a life together.
Yes.
Not just life in terms of babies, but actually the fusion of these two, because source consciousness is not complete unless both are united. Now, one is not better than the other. Like, if you look at the Tahitu, which is the yin-yang symbol, one is not, you know, black with a white dot is not better than white with a black dot. I mean, like, you need both. You need all of it. That's the point we're missing in society today, right? Because we're fighting, well, you know, women, men. No, you need all.
Yes.
And guess what? We need every single human being, because everybody is a unique little puzzle piece in the mosaic of humanity. And you, Susan Jane, you are here because there's something far grander than us that wanted to have the Susan Jane experience in Brisbane, Australia. And it looks like this, and it wants to live that experience.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
There's that same source where that came from, decided that it wanted to be this 6'5" guy called Robert Altheis that writes books and talks passionately about this stuff. And so something wants to live me. And every single 8 billion people here on Earth, right? We're all unique. We're all special. We're all equally sacred. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care what color you are. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I agree.
You're all sacred. You're all special. You're all supposed to be here. You're all supposed to add your uniqueness to this canvas of all of creation.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely. But Robert, we're starting to run out of time, and I just wanted to quickly talk about your new book, which is called Love Plus Truth, and it's the ethos of being spiritual art.
Yeah.
Now, give us a quick rundown.
Yeah, so this was a channel work. I had a massive download last year, and I wrote down this whole book. It's a spiritual teaching framework anchored in the sacred geometry of flower life. It's got 5 parts. It's a very comprehensive kind of overview of the intelligence of life, the design of life, so we can gain mastery in life. And what does that look like? And so I really kind of break down, but I also look at all the ancient wisdom traditions, and I compare all this wisdom that's been for tens of thousands of years in different places and great masters and teachers. But then I also contrast it with quantum physics, because what the Vedics call Brahman is actually called quantum field by quantum physicists. It's the same thing. And so I'm kind of showing people, like, it's all the same thing. We've been talking about this stuff for 10,000 years in different religions, different wisdom traditions, you know, gnosis, hermeticism, The Stoics talked about this stuff. The Greek philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Pythagoras, they were all talking about the same stuff. And so I really give kind of a lay of the land, and then really where I bring it all home in part five is I kind of lay it out and I say, you know, all this stuff is great, but you becoming a spiritual poet, you seeing yourself as in a primary role as a spiritual poet, you're here to perfect your art, your spiritual art. You're here to be spiritual art. And you can be that and do it in whatever you want to. You could be run an empire or be a homemaker or be a lifeguard on the beach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Choose whatever, you know, whatever makes your heart sing. The thing is, you're a spiritual poet. You're here to perfect your art. You're here to just every day make it a little bit more beautiful and to express that into this canvas of all of creation, which is a co-creation with the entire world. And, you know, this is the fun that you get to walk this road and you get to figure this out. You're the sculptor and the sculpture at the same time. So when Michelangelo said, I saw David in the stone, and I just started removing all excess marble, that's really what you're doing. You're stripping the layers of impurity off. And you're just every day, you're getting a little better, a little bit more beautiful. And you're, you know, if you want to think about this thread of consciousness that runs through your Atman as a tuning fork, so when that tuning fork gets a higher vibration, now you're actually sharing that with the world. And not only will that get everything that's in resonance with that higher vibration into your life, so now you're creating a more beautiful life for yourself, you are actually projecting this into the universe. And every frequency, every vibration, every word, every action, every feeling you have lives on forever in the universe. And so it is for every person. This is why the universe is expanding the way it is, at speeds beyond our wildest imagination. Well, imagine that every experience, every potentiality, every thought, every action, everything is like recorded, it's added to the universe. So it must expand. Because there's over 100,000 galaxies in our universe alone. For all we know, there are more universes. Mm. This thing is enormous. And we just get to play in this.
we can focus on our little world, and then if we're focusing on that the right way, then it's just going to permeate out all over the place. Yeah.
And if you work on you, your life will transform. This is physics, because you cannot achieve, you cannot go have a higher vibration and nothing changes in your outer world. And this is just, it's physically not possible.
Yep.
And so it's a hard pill. It's a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bitter tonic to accept that everything in your life today, you have created yourself, unconsciously or consciously. But once you get past that bitter tonic, it also means that you have the power to change it.
Yep, and the absolutely. Power,
and the way to change it is to get to know yourself, to get to know the design of life. How does this actually all really work? And then what can I do inside of me in my inner world? And your outer world cannot help but change.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Robert, I have to be rude and say we have run out of time. I usually ask you for something final to go with, but just what you've said was beautiful. So I don't think we need to say anything.
Well, else. I'm gonna interject. There's one quote on the back of my book.
Oh, it's cool.
By Leonardo da Vinci.
Yep.
And I don't know if people can see it. I'll say it.
No.
Art is never finished, only abandoned. Don't abandon yourself. You're a piece of art. You know, never, ever abandon yourself.
No.
Because none of us are ever finished. Mm. We're all just a work in progress. We're all just getting a little better every day. Just don't abandon yourself.
Right. We have to remember that. Thank you so much for being on the show, Robert.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was great.
Yeah. Stay there. I'll chat with you in a minute. I've got to take you off and we have to say our goodbyes. If I don't say our goodbyes, I run out of time. Jump onto the website and have a look. It's all down there in the description for you, and have a look at the book too. Love Plus. Oh my goodness, I've forgotten what the words. Hang on, let me go and have a look over here. It is, where's his book? I've got all the details over here. It is Love Plus Health, I'm pretty sure. Hang on, let me have a look for you. But jump on, have a look at the book, because that's going to give you a good understanding of it. And it is called, hang on, look at me. I should have known this off by heart. Love Plus Truth, not Love Plus Health. Love Plus Truth, of course. I should have put Robert back on so he could have said it, but we're running out of time. Okay, guys, like, share, subscribe to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you all enjoyed it. And jump onto the website again, have a look. I have got a quiz out now to discover what your intuitive nature is, your strongest intuitive nature, how you receive those intuitive messages, and how we can actually balance them all out so we can start to receive them in all different ways. That is on the website, intuitivenature.com.au, Australian business. And I will say bye for now, because we run out of time. Okay, guys, have a great week. Bye for now.